And we are we're conducting today a special business meeting. We called the meeting, I was feeling a little uncomfortable because I was feeling a bit rushed. And so we've sort of calmed ourselves down, and we're going to take it easy on this, but we do want to answer this question. So let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll go forward. Our Father, we do thank you for this opportunity we have to gather together to make a decision for our church. We pray that you all give us wisdom, and also that we would be prudent in everything that we choose to do. And Lord, we just pray for your continued guidance and blessing on our church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as you know, we've now been in the building here for 22 years, and we've had a gravel parking lot all this time. We have occasionally had more gravel put on the lot, had it graded out, holes filled, and dust everywhere. I was just looking at somebody's written in the Sunday school room window in the dust. And I was thinking, oh, we probably should have cleaned those windows. Anyway, but so there's all kinds of things with it, and we've long wanted to have a paved parking lot. So what we're going to do is give you some information, and want to say thank you to Rob Perry, especially to start with, as he has really taken some initiative here to get contact with various companies and get us started on at least getting quotes and then where we're going from there. So I have a picture. This is an overhead picture of the property, and so I've got these things colored in. So that part in pink there is to be an extension of the sidewalk. If you go outside, you'll notice that the concrete only goes down. It goes right to our property line, actually. Our property line runs almost right down the middle of the sidewalk. So it's encroaching on us a little bit, but we don't actually care about that. And then this other area here, there's a paving area. So the existing parking lot, and let me get my pointer going here. All right. Okay, so an existing parking lot, and then this little pad here is gravel. That's part of the city property. We have to get a permit, a permit. There's some kind of form we have to sign with the city and a deposit because work will be done on their property as well. We want to make this a little bit bigger so that in theory, you could get two cars into that spot right now, but people tend to park right in the middle of it, and they don't realize it's a two-stall parking place. So, and there's also, along with the concrete here along the sidewalk, there is, right now, there's a timber right here, not a concrete curb. And then this bit is concrete, but then this is timbers. So we take all that out, put concrete curbs around those. And then all of this area would be paved. Okay, so that is the plan as we have it at the moment. And I'm going to add a little something here. We had, see here, let's do that. Oh, it won't advance without my pointer being off. Okay. All right. So this optional gravel extension. So I'm thinking, well, we're going to have machines in here. We're going to be doing a lot of work, and why not expand the parking lot? I mean, less grass to cut. That's always a plus. And we have had, thankfully, this last 6 months, couple occasions when people have been a little bit late and they've had to go find a parking lot on the street or parking spot on the street somewhere. So I thought it would encourage people to be more punctual, but it hasn't. Anyway, the idea is that to gravel it. However, notice it says optional, okay, so because as with everything, there is a cost involved. So the next thing I want to show you is I just overlaid this picture. This is the actual picture. This was sent to us by one of the companies, and he's drawn here a proposal for drainage on the property. So there's basically two different ideas about how to drain the parking lot. One would be to slope it in such a way that basically the water would be directed over to the side yard here, where it's gravel and soil, and it would just evaporate, drain into the soil and evaporate. The other option is back. Let me get the pointer going on again. There is right in here. There is a room underneath the ground. It is about 12 feet by 12 feet by 10 feet high, and they had right. You see where this line runs here, this green line. In back here, there used to be a winter creek. Well, there still is a winter creek that flows through there. But when they built the townhouses, they built this huge culvert, concrete culvert, and it directs the water through, and then they put soil on top. Then, a few years later, they were having problems with trees getting stuck in the drain over on this side of the street. And so then it'd be backing up. And then when they were going to build the condo where Norm and Julie live, they said, this is not a good thing. So they built this humongous room in there. And while they were doing it, I showed up one day, and here's all this equipment all over the grass. And I said, oh, looking around, what's happening? They explaining. I said to the foreman, I said, well, you know you're trespassing. And he says, oh, he says, really? He says, we thought the line was the fence in behind. I said, no, our line goes right out to the sidewalk, almost right in the middle of it. Oh, I'm so sorry. I said, no problem. And they later wrote me, said, what can we do about it? And they all apologetic. I said, well, you could put a stub in that wall so that if we ever pave our parking lot, we could drain into it. Well, no problem. So there is, in the wall of this room, a pipe about 6 feet down, if I remember right, that is waiting for us to hook up to. All right, so that's what these green lines are about. So the second proposal is to put a catch basin here, roughly a catch basin here, and then run it down into this room down below. Both of the companies are going to do the sidewalk, do the paving, the curbing, and so forth. One company, it's a combination of two companies, a paving company and an excavation company. The other one is just a company that's going to take it all on by themselves. I don't know if they subcontract the excavation. But anyway, that's the plan. So there's two different approaches. We're not really, when it comes down to it, in my mind, the drainage into the drainage pits and out into that big room back there does make sense to me as something that is appealing, and then you don't have the runoff into your backyard and so forth. But one of the guys said, well, yeah, he says, but it's not going to be that big of a parking lot. It's not going to have that much runoff. So there's that. So anyhow, so those are the two options, approaches, or the ideas that we're working on. Now, now the estimates. So the five-star paving, they're the ones that are, their plan is to slope the parking lot, right? So theirs is paving and curbs, which is, paving and curbs, $70,000 plus GST, roughly $74,000. Okay, so Don Mann and Island Paving, they're the ones proposing the drainage pits, and that is $84,700 plus GST, so about $89,000. Okay, so then the optional gravel parking lot extension is $21,000 from Five Star Paving, and also right about the same from Don Mann Excavating. Okay, so that must be the price. What they would do there is they would dig it down, I think about 6 inches, cart off the soil. Now, it is very gravelly soil. It is fairly firm anyway. I have often taken my truck back there when I'm getting stuff out of the shed, and I drive all over. I drive through here on this side. You don't get stuck. However, what they were thinking to do is to dig it down about 6 inches, pack down, and then on top of that, there's what they call it. Paving companies have recycled asphalt that they grind up, and then they'll use it like gravel and pack that down. It's not as good as paving, but at least then you have less dust and so on and so forth. So that's the idea to put on top of there. Anyhow, that's $20,000. And I'm going, oh, boy. I thought, you know, gravel, how much could that be? But anyway, what do I know? All right, so that is the cost as proposed. Now, and you have, and that is all on your sheet. I think I've given you all that information. And, oh, did I not? Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I did. I don't have your sheet in front of me. So now, this is the financial report. Just a quick financial report. Cash on hand as of last night. Okay? So we have some in designated funds. So the FBFI Conference Fund, Missionary Travel Fund, Pastor Retirement Fund. Okay, so there's a little bit there. But we have in our Future Projects Fund $40,000, and in our General Fund right now around $89,000. That number fluctuates, of course, each week as we have offerings come in and then as we pay out our bills. And, of course, just a couple weeks ago, we paid our insurance, our building insurance and liability insurance, and that's a $4,000 number. So we took quite a big hit that week. But anyhow, so the total available in these funds is $129,000, roughly. We always want to keep some money on hand for our operating expenses. So, you know, the top, taking that in mind, Rob and I have discussed this, and we have discussed it some with the deacons, but we haven't had a full meeting with the deacons. But we're suggesting, Rob and I, that the optional gravel parking lot is a future gravel parking lot. It's a long time in the future. We won't do that right away. I think it would be nice to expand it, but it's not required. So we're talking about, if we go with the higher estimate, so $90,000, let's say, $89,000, that would leave roughly $35,000 to $40,000 in our general fund. So our operating expenses average somewhere around $4,000 or $5,000 a month, and that gives us a cushion. We always want to have a little cushion just in case you have a low month. All right, so from that standpoint, seems fairly prudent. Now, I need to present the motion before we have discussion. So I'll give you a chance to discuss, and we can take as long as you want to discuss this once I present the motion. All right, so the motion is this: whereas we want to have our parking lot paved, and whereas we have on hand two quotes under $95,000 for the project, and whereas we have on hand $129,000 in non-designated funds, we move to authorize the pastor and deacons to have the authority to decide which company to hire and to spend up to $95,000 for the paving project, holding the gravel a parking extension as something to consider in the future. All right, so I'm going to make that motion. So I need a second to the motion. All right, Wolf is seconding the motion. All right, so now is the time for discussion and questions. Any questions or discussion? Wolf. Well, the part right beside the church is not wide enough to get more than just a couple of parallel parking spots. So you'd have to come, once you get past that extension of the church, you'd have to come almost to the steps, the back steps of that door there, and then that way you would have, you could head in on both sides. Okay? Whatever, I don't remember how we just pace it out. We're just roughly, it was a rough estimate. All right. It is a bit of a challenge. I have thought, you know, years ago, let's pave the whole thing. So I'd have one way. You go in this way, okay, and then you'd have angle parking, and then parking all around, and come out that side, and come out here, and that's where you would come. But anyway, that's a long way down the road. All right, so let's see. Carrie was next.
Has there been any thought to parking lines?
Yes, we'd have to paint that, have parking lines on that. That would help, because sometimes we're not real good at judging with our gravel lines, and we do have sometimes a big gap in the cars. Okay, Christy's next.
We wanted to know, do we need to leave a drain tie in if we leave the gravel extension?
Does he mean as far as if we were to... I'm not quite sure what he's asking there. I think in right now, if the gravel extension would not need a drain tie-in, if we were to, it's a possibility you might need to have some way of getting, because you might have to rip up some concrete to get into that. So that's, I think that's what he's asking. And that might be a thing to consider. I'm not sure.
He's calling. Can I
answer? Sure. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Rob. You might as well, yeah, might as well. Lee, by Zoom, or by streaming. Okay, go ahead.
Carrie has a good point, and I found out with our strata that the best time to paint is as soon as it's paved.
Right.
Otherwise, if you leave it for a year or two, you've got to power wash the whole parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, I think we'd have to have it painted right away, yeah.
Yeah, and it's probably fit in the project.
That's right. Right, yes, that's right, yes, that's right, yes. Yeah.
It's not all going in the side.
That's right, that's correct, okay.
Okay, I think he's saying that if we don't pave the extension right now, but we wanted to pave it later, how would we drain the later paved section?
That's right. Yeah, that would be the question, because you don't want to drain it into the neighboring property, so you'd want to somehow accommodate it in our own property somehow. So,
so is he asking to...
Yeah, that's basically. Yeah, we would have to take that into consideration. Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to let Jill jump in there. Oh, Emily's been trying to wave her hand too. Okay. So let's. Well. Okay. Jill first, and then Emily.
I just wanted to ask you, how firm are those bids? I'm thinking about cost overruns.
Right. Yeah, I know. They said, okay, so first of all, they gave those, when they first gave us them, the, I think it was, they're good for 30 days or something. And, but one of them we had, I think it was July. And, part of it we had in July. And so then we had them come back because there was some extra things we wanted done. So they hadn't changed that part of it. Okay, so, you know, that it's always possible that it could cost a little bit more, but
that's a good point, because asphalt's gone up a couple of times in a year, so yeah. Don't do this till
next year. Yeah, then this is the thing, we would have to do this in the spring. We try to get it because most likely they're running out of time towards the end of the year, although the one company said they pave right up to December 24th. They keep working, and then they take a month off. So
I wonder if Jill's point is this enough money if it's left till next year?
Yeah, I think that's what she's saying, yes.
How much wiggle room do you
have? Yeah, that's right. Well, that we don't know, but I think, as I said, I think there was, you know, they are looking, the two companies, if we're going with the more expensive option, are looking towards, from what they said, it seemed like they had built in some anticipation of that. Okay, but you never know, because things have been going up lately. Okay, Emily's next. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to ask them. So it's recycled asphalt that they'll be using for the.
No, just on the gravel part.
Just on the gravel. So yeah, what would be the difference between that and the.
Well, it's more like just to put that down instead of paving.
I don't know. I'm just wondering.
I don't know exactly, but it would reduce dust. Mm-hmm. Can you put that down? But then, if you were to go and pave, you'd have to take it all up again. So
okay.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm not an expert on that, so I'm just guessing.
So they're proposing to pave this
the front,
one,
yes.
And use recycled asphalt.
This was a suggestion. If we're going to do the extension. Then to put on top of that this recycled asphalt just to dampen down the dust and make a good hard surface.
But we're not doing that.
But we are not doing that right now, no. The idea is to wait on that because it's just, it's to me, I don't want to like, well, okay, let's put it this way. Years ago we had a quote to pave the parking lot at $45,000. That was before all this development happened. Mm-hmm. And the bank wouldn't give us the money. Mm. So so then we shelved it. And I was afraid that the price would be way higher. And these quotes, like I was thinking, you know, I've been watching prices and everything going up, and so I was thinking, oh, we're going to end up over 100,000 just with paving. And it came in lower, way lower than I expected. So, you know, that warmed me up to the idea. Now, you know, I would say that I think the general feeling I have from most people is it would be really nice to have a paved parking lot. But then we have to decide whether or not the cost is worth it. All right, so Christy, you're next.
We would like to know if the lines are included in those quotes.
No, they're not. Lines are not included in those quotes. We haven't priced that. But it can't be, you know, much.
We can do it.
Yeah, all you need is a spray can, right? Anyway.
A steady hand.
Yeah, all right, Wolf.
So at this point, are you leaning towards the range of the property or attributes?
Well, I'm not. See, what I don't want to do, I want to hash that out amongst the deacons. This is what the motion is asking for you to give the authority of the deacons to make that decision. Because I don't know. I mean, to me, I like the idea of running the water off, you know, somewhere else. But as the one fellow said, there's not going to be a lot of drain on that parking lot anyway. You know, it's not that big a parking lot. So I don't know. I don't know which way to go. And so I think, but what I want to do is, we want to authorize the deacons to spend up to a certain amount of money and to make the decision to punt it to them to have that final say as to what to do. The what now? The catch basins? Well, I mean, that is my basic feeling, but we have to hash it out. And I really would like to make the committee smaller to make that final decision is sort of, you know, so you sort of, I mean, if you can always amend the motions, but okay. Now, Rob was next, so I'm going to go ahead with Rob.
I've been working with
$3,500 for 100 and some park?
Yeah. Basically, it's 2 days' work.
Yeah. Okay.
One coat, you know.
Yeah.
It's repainting what's already there.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing, you know, 1500 here, maybe.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that's good information. Okay.
Something like that.
Okay. All right. So Rob is saying that in their condo, they are repainting 140 stalls for $3,500. So we would not have 140 stalls here. We'd have quite a bit less. So that's reassuring. All right, Christy.
I'm just thinking, I don't know if this factors in too. We don't get snow often, but when we do, we can really get it. And I wonder if the catch basins would help drain off the...
That's true. And the other, see, one of the advantages of paving is then you could have somebody plow it. Because right now, you know, we just get it, dig into the gravel. So when we have snow, we don't have church. Okay?
I know somebody to plow it too.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they also want to put down ice melt, they want to contract.
Right, right.
I know a guy will show up and do it for $300.
Okay, good.
You need a shovel.
Oh, yeah, it's James. That's James. All righty. Okay. Okay, so yeah, so that is a factor as well. That's one of the reasons we would like to do it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is always a.
Because our contractor, somebody built just a small house in the back of their yard and it's affected the drainage in his yard. So
yeah.
I do think that's an important.
Yes. Yeah. And I do. You know, so I'm sort of leaning that way in my own personal opinion, but I want to, you know, I'll take everybody's input. That's fine. But what we're asking for, unless you want to amend this, is we're asking for the deacons to have the authority to make the decision. All right, Rob.
Just to that point, yeah, I mean, that sounds really good. They did, each of the contractors did say, and we did speak to a third one as well, that basically you can do whatever you want. It's not a huge parking lot like a grocery store.
Right.
But we have that option to put in the catch basins for sure.
Yeah.
So it's not, one of them described it, well, in fact, I talked to an engineer I know, and he described it as, well, you know, do you want a Cadillac or do you want a GMC?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, and he also said you can do whatever you want, as long as the drainage is in place.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so any other questions or comments? Does anybody have any? Are you ready to vote on it? That's, I guess, the next question.
See, has anyone got concerns about this? Might be a good question.
Yeah. Okay, now we do want to remind you that there are, if you're not a voting member, your vote doesn't count. You can vote if you want, but it doesn't count. Okay? And we're not going to take a secret ballot, but I think we'll just go ahead and say, okay, all members in favor, so raise your hand. Christy's raising both. Oh, for Lee also. All right, and anybody opposed? Anybody opposed? Okay, so the meeting is over because with a special business meeting, we don't have to have an adjournment. The special business meeting is you can only discuss what the meeting was called for. So if you have other business you would like to discuss, you have to wait for the annual general meeting, or you have to call another meeting for that purpose. Okay, so that's how it works. With 2 weeks' notice, that's right. That's right. Now, we will be having another meeting. We're planning to have another meeting with regard to our doctrinal statement. So I wanted to take up the remaining time. Let me get my laser pointer off. And on the back of your sheet, I've given you this one point of the doctrinal statement that we have been wrestling with, and I'm thinking it over. We want this to be, say this properly. So I'll just read through what we, this is what we came up with back in 2019, and we were interrupted by COVID with all this and some other things. So this is what we had come up with in our, at that time, but there have been some thoughts about it not being quite adequate, so we've made some different. I made a different proposal about amending this, and I'm going to add in. I've got a third way of doing it, which we'll look at today. So we believe that God created man on day six of the creation week, directly and not by any kind of evolutionary process. God created man in His image and in a state of sinlessness as both a physical and spiritual being. We believe that man freely chose to transgress the will of God and thereby incurred sin, condemnation, physical and spiritual death on all men, so that man is a sinner by nature and by choice, completely depraved, destitute of any moral good, and utterly unable to merit God's favor or contribute to his salvation. The fall of man not only doomed man, but marred creation, bringing in death and disorder, which will continue until Jesus returns and restores creation. Now, this paragraph is the one that we, this next paragraph is the one where we're sort of wrestling. So we go on to say, we believe that God created man as male and female, that creation determines gender, and deny any notion that gender is fluid or a social construct. God created man, male and female, in his image for the purpose of populating the earth and holding dominion over it. God created man, male and female, for the institution of marriage, which God intends as one man and one woman, until death parts them. We thus deny the validity of same-sex marriage and mourn the occurrence of divorce that runs rampant among men. Though marred by the fall, God's purpose for creation remains the same. All right, so that paragraph we're going to strike out, and we're going to propose that we replace it with this paragraph. We believe that God created man as male and female and instituted marriage as the basic building block of human society at creation. We believe that the only legitimate marriage is the joining of one man and one woman, and that God intends men and women to make a lifelong covenant with one another in marriage. We believe that God has commanded that no intimate sexual activity be engaged in outside of a marriage between a man and a woman. We believe that gender or sex is an attribute of the person as created by God and is unchangeable by any man. We believe that human life begins at conception, that God sees the child in the womb as a valid human life worthy of protection. So the last amendment that I had suggested, we had specified a whole lot of things that were violations of God's morality, and all those things are true, but some were raised the question, well, what else will people think of? And there's that. And also, we had the first paragraph had mentioned something with respect to the permanence of marriage and opposing divorce. And so, and then the third thing, concern was that we should be saying positively, more positively, what the scriptures say. So what the objective here is to cover all those points. So we are covering, first of all, the idea of marriage and its permanence, marriage of one man and one woman. God intends man and women to make a lifelong covenant with one another. Then we're also covering that we no intimate sexual activity be engaged in outside of a marriage between a man and a woman. So we're not saying we're against homosexuality, although we are, okay, but we are making it clear that that behavior is outside of God's plan, right? So that way we are against it, but we are stating it in a positive way, okay? We believe that gender or sex is an attribute of the person. This deals with this whole craziness that our world is in. I don't think it can sustain. I don't think it can sustain because it's just total insanity. But I do think it's important that we make a statement about it. And it's unchangeable by any man. All right. And then again, then we adding that line about human life begins at conception. God sees the child in the womb and so forth. So, and I've given you, I think in the printout, I've given you all the verses that we have supporting these. I don't have it on the screen here. And you can look those up later. Now, any comments on what I've put here now? Maureen.
I actually really love that. Because it says everything very, very, very clearly. And in a way that by reflecting on the beauty of what God has made, you're keeping that before you rather than having to think about horrible.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Okay. All right. Good. Any other? James.
Just a comment. I'd actually just like to thank you for including all the different verses because that helps us understand not only that, when we're preaching it.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
We rarely have these questions. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, we can point.
Yes, they do. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Thank you. All right. Any other comments or questions on it?
Well, just a. Yeah, I didn't like the dignifying all the
right.
perversions by putting it in there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, all right. Well, I heard all that those comments, and we're just trying to be sure that we want to take a clear stand, but and you want to avoid verbiage, too, because you can go on and on, right? But I think in our world, it's important that we be clear who we are, okay, as a group. Okay, let's see. Rob's next.
Just quickly saying that, yeah, I think this is better. I think it covers problems without mentioning every single one of them.
Right. And the thing is, like as I said, this world is full of perversion. And people are going to, if they outlawed these things, they'd find something else to do. All right, so Daryl.
Just the outside of a marriage between a man and a woman, I kind of don't like adding between a man and a woman. Marriage is marriage.
Right.
That's kind of.
Well, that is a little bit. That is.
Kind of a concession to a redefining of marriage.
Right. Okay. So, the reason I thought about that when I was looking at that last night. Okay. So, we believe that God has commanded that no intimate sexual activity be engaged in outside of a marriage between a man and a woman. So. We could just leave off between a man and a woman. We could say outside of a marriage. We did define marriage here. God intends men and women to make a lifelong covenant with one another in marriage. Oh, no. We believe that the only legitimate marriage is the joining of one man and one woman. So then you could leave off that phrase between a man and a woman there. We believe that God has commanded that no intimate sexual activity be engaged in outside of marriage. You could just stop there. Okay, and I did feel that I was looking at that, and I thought, that's kind of awkward. But I didn't know how to, at the time, like maybe it was too late at night when I was looking at it, I don't know. But yeah, we could strike that clause. Does that, any comments on that? Christy?
What about outside of
Yeah, just outside of marriage, yeah.
Take the
app. Yes.
Okay. But what about the... Well, you already defined it, but I would just put something marriage as defined by God or something.
Yeah. Well, see,
anything's a marriage.
Yeah, that's right. But see, we have explicitly defined what marriage is. We believe that the only legitimate marriage is the joining of one man and one woman, and God intends men and women to make a lifelong covenant with one another in marriage. So by stating that, that's what saying marriage is. Okay, so. And it's important to say one man and one woman. You know, the next thing that I think will be pushed, and is, I've heard stories of these, they call it polyamory. Okay, it's just insane. It's insanity. It's just insanity. I don't think, as I said, I don't think these things can sustain themselves. And they may plague us in the public for a good long while. It could be 15, 20 years. But eventually, they're not culture building. This is, if a civilization can't happen if this becomes normalized.
I mean, we're witnessing our society just being destroyed.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Someone will take us over.
Yeah, okay. Augustine, go ahead.
Okay, I think the warnings are very good and also supported with a lot of verses of the Bible.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering what someone will look. I don't know at what age that you have some of our youth crosses to the adults, to be members of the Bible study here.
Right.
But I want to say that, I mean, we've been baked to a kind of a stage that we're mature, that we can also... It's also good for some of these things to water down, maybe for the knowledge of the youth.
Yes.
I don't know whether arrangement is being done in that regard.
Yeah.
And, because, I mean, they mix with a lot of people out there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The tendency for them to...
Yeah, well, I think, with, especially in our teen class, I don't know exactly what curriculum I don't survey and work through all the curriculum, but our teachers who have been teaching there, or the ones who select the curriculum, have the topics are addressed, especially in the teen class. Now, the little kids, we don't need to bother them about that, right? But the teens... Although I know if the kids are in the school system, they're getting it, even at a very young age. And so, I mean, it is a concern, for sure. There may be ways, and probably, I mean, I don't know, I don't really read every piece of curriculum that we have. So, but there are ways that it can be taught to young people. And also, it might be a good idea for us to get a list of books and things that we can use with children to teach good, proper values about marriage. And I'm sure there probably are people writing things like this. All right, Christy?
I wasn't clear on what you were saying.
What I was saying is that, you know, it's good to, there's an adage in my village that says, if you want to bake a fish, when the fish now becomes dry, it will be very difficult for it to carve. So while they are very young, it's good for them to start getting some knowledge about some of those things, such that even when they have their peers trying to push them into different things,
right,
they will have had that knowledge, the foreknowledge, and say,
that's right.
No, I'm not going that way. This is the way I'm going, because that's how I've been taught.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Sorry, if I could just speak to, like, in the little kids' class, like, you don't talk about this, but when we go over creation, mm-hmm. we talk about creation, and marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, so you're saying it positively, at least for the little kids, and maybe for the teen class,
yeah.
It might be something to call.
Yes. Well, and I will add to that. Like last Sunday, we had a creation speaker. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't want to harp on creation all the time. You know, there's more to the Bible than that. However, it is so important and so foundational. Our young people are being taught in the school system a total materialistic view of the universe and so forth. And we want to constantly be presenting before them an alternative point of view, as people are, so that they have something to stand with. I remember when I went to college or school, in junior high school, my dad was, of course, very involved in our lives, and we were in Sunday school and all this. Well, they had this this thing. How old would I be? Probably so, maybe 13 or so, 12 or 13. And they had this thing where they had made a giant pickle, okay, dill pickle. It's a paper mache pickle. It was mounted out in the hallway, and they were created this. You had to, as you went by the pickle, you had to bow down to the pickle and say, they had a set of words like, "Oh, great pickle," and all this, whatever. I mean, there's no way I was doing that. Okay. And then at the end of the week, it might have been a fundraiser, but they were going to have a kangaroo court. Anybody who had failed to comply was going to, yes, this is, Maureen doesn't know about it. Anyway, and I talked it over with my dad. He said, "Well, you don't have to go to school that day." So I stayed home. Okay, but things go on in schools that parents need to be aware of. And they need to teach their kids how to stand up. Yeah. All right. So Christy next.
It's like we homeschool our kids, and it has in the last 5 years, like we have same sex couple raising two girls, and one of them is a minister, so we're at the park and these children start talking and, "Oh, you go to church too? Oh, we go to church, my mom's a minister." Like we have to, like we really have to like there's the innocence of what is evil and why is what is good or
bad. Yeah.
But like we've had to really train our children, because those are the types of people that will try to, I think, corner our kids and find out what we really think. And I've really had to teach my kids that if somebody is asking us questions, we that is not appropriate for me to talk about. And like, you know, because like we've just had so many like really really frightening, or like girls, you know, like saying, "Oh, I don't know if I should name him."
They're being drilled with this, yeah. Yeah. Okay, James, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, like, about like your story. You know, your dad ended up saying, "Well, you don't have to go to school that day." I think that's a great option, and I'm glad he did it, especially these days. And I know some of us here have kids in public school, myself included. Some of us don't. But I can also personally attest to a neighbor of mine who pulled their kids out of, like, their kids go to public school. They pulled them out of Vic High because they found out the school was going to be having one of those awful, horrendous drag queen story hours.
It is abhorrent. Oh, we're getting a little bit off our talk, but we're okay. We've basically got this, I think, narrowed down to what we want to do on this statement. I don't know if there's any other comments you want to make on that. Go ahead, Don.
I'll just bring it back to that one statement about getting rid of between the man and the woman.
Yeah.
I would be a little fearful that people would take that one sentence and say, "Oh, it says then same-sex people are allowed to have marriage."
That's the only reason I included it. But on the other hand, we've already defined what marriage is. So.
Yeah, but I think we all understand.
Yeah.
Those people, as we know, will take one piece and then...
That's true, but I think I'm leaning towards the idea that having defined marriage, then we can, in the context of the statement, the reason for this statement is so that as we have people coming in, when they join the church, they have to say, "I agree with this statement." Okay? So, and as we talked about a couple weeks ago, we're proposing to amend our doctrinal statement to... or expand our doctrinal statement. We're not amending it, but expanding our doctrinal statement. And I also suggested we need to put in our bylaws that this can only be done by unanimous consent. Because if we're joining a church, we're going to come in and say, "Yes, I agree with this doctrinal statement." All right, so then if you change the doctrinal statement, you can't, if somebody objects to any part of it, then what happens to their membership? You see, so we want to have unanimous consent in order to make this change, right? So, however, I think we're pretty good with this. Okay, so I think it's time to close. We are at, 12:13. So lunch will be, 12:14 probably. My watch is 1 minute slow. So let's pray and we will have lunch. Our Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless our church. Help us to use wisdom going forward. Lord, just give the deacons wisdom as we wrestle through the details on the parking lot. And then also as we consider our doctrinal statement as a church, Lord, we pray that you'll give us all wisdom in the plans that we make concerning that.